All right, so we're going to start it's a continuation of the regular series we've been doing, which is this Wednesday class on prayer on tefillah. And I want to transition now into starting to understand all the prayers. I mean, we daven every single day. Hopefully we daven every single day. And when we open up the Siddur, we are reading through a text that's an ancient text that hasn't changed in thousands of years, and we're still using the exact same text. And it seems to be pretty archaic practice, because one may have imagined that perhaps it would make more sense to just pray from one's heart. In fact, we know that it says in the Talmud that Rachmana Libabe, that ultimately what tefillah is, what davening is connection of to Hashem through the heart. That's ultimately what Hashem wants. In fact, the way that the Torah describes the commandment to pray is the Torah says, "Ulo'avdo b'chol levavchem." We're supposed to serve God with all our heart, and the Talmud explains, what does that mean to serve God with your heart? Ezu avoda shebelev. What is service of God through the heart? Zu tefillah. That's called prayer. It's called davening. So if that's the case, so then why is the text something that's so important? To compound this question, if one were to take a look in the halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, which is the code of Jewish law written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived 1478 to 1575, was the revolutionary halachist, where he was the first one to codify for all of Jewry in the modern era Jewish law, some book that we did not have beforehand. Beforehand, you would just ask the local rabbi what the law is, and they would have to figure out a response just by looking at the old texts themselves, which is something that most rabbis today are not equipped to be able to do, because there's so many varied opinions. Rabbi Yosef Karo set the tone for everybody, where he said, "This is the Jewish law." After careful analysis of all the different opinions, this is the way that we practice. And he writes in his code of Jewish law that one is obligated when they are praying to not only understand the fact that they're standing in front of God and they're having this hopefully vulnerable experience with God, hi Karen, vulnerable experience with God, this emotional experience with God, the sincere experience with God, but one also is supposed to understand the words of the Siddur themselves. That part of the obligation of prayer is to understand what it is that we're reading from the Siddur, not only to have that emotional connection with God. So in order to properly appreciate this, I want to take a step back to analyze some of the sources that indicate why it's so important for us to understand the words of the Shmoneh Esrei. Not only, as we mentioned, having this experience of God, of Rachmana Libabe, of connecting to God through our heart, and not only to connect to Hashem in a way that's an emotional connection, but using and utilizing the words of the prayers themselves, utilizing the Shmoneh Esrei as the vehicle for that most direct connection. So it's interesting. There's one part of the Shmoneh Esrei that the Shulchan Aruch says seems to stand above all the rest. There's one part of the Shmoneh Esrei that one needs to understand the words of the text in order for them to fulfill their obligation of prayer. That is the first blessing of Shmoneh Esrei. The very first part, the very first paragraph, one needs to understand what they are saying, and if they don't, they seem to not even fulfill their mitzvah of prayer. Says the Shulchan Aruch, HaMespalel, that when one is praying, Tzarech Sheyechaven B'chol HaBrachos, a person really needs to have proper intention. They need to know what they're saying for the entire text. They need to know what they're reading throughout the entire text of the Amidah during that silent prayer. V'im Eino Yachol HaChavim B'Kulam. However, if it's too difficult for a person to understand every single word of the Shmoneh Esrei, it's a very hard thing to do, to be able to understand every single word and have proper intention for every single word. Lefachot, at the very least, at the very minimum, Yechavein ba'avos. You have to understand what you're reading for the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei, Avos. The Mishnah Berurah explains why is it important to understand what you're reading by Avos, because Avos, the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei, is giving the highest praises of God. It's even the highest praises of God that Hashem is the master of the universe, that he controls everything, he rules over everything, that he is the master planner. Hashem is is above everything. He encapsulates everything. God is given his highest praises during that first part of the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's why it's so important during that first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei to have the proper intention for every single word, because that will set the tone for the rest of the prayer. That if I really concentrate during the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei, so then I'm going to have proper intention throughout the rest of Shmoneh Esrei. To the point that if a person did not have proper intention during the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei, says the Shulchan Aruch, he says, "Afal pi shekivim b'chol ashar yachzor v'yispalo." I need to repeat the prayer. I need to repeat my Shmoneh Esrei. So if I finished my tefillah, I finished saying the entire Shmoneh Esrei, I finished saying everything, but I did not have proper intention during that first paragraph, I need to read everything all over again. Practically speaking, that's not what we do. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, who was a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo living in Krakow, he lived about half the length of time as the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch lived 87 years, 1488 to 1575. The Ramah was born in 1530 and died in 1572. He only lived 42 years, lived a very, very short life, but was very impactful, especially in the area of Jewish law. And he says, Ha'idna, today, Ein Chozrin Bishvil Chisaron Kavana, that we don't tell a person to repeat your Shmoneh Esrei, to repeat your davening, if you didn't have proper intention. We don't tell such a person to do that. We don't tell somebody to do that. Why? Sha'at B'chazara, because who says the second time around, you're going to have proper intention the second time around? And then it's going to be something that never ends. That every single time you get up to pray, you're going to think, I probably didn't have perfect intention, I'm going to do it again. And then after the second time, I'm going to think, I probably didn't have perfect intention, I'm going to have to do it again and again and again and again. So there's something that's ain't the davar sof. It's never ending. So the Ramah says that we don't do this today. But what comes out from here? What comes out from here is you see how important having intention is during the entire Shmoneh Esrei, but definitely during the first part, to the point that theoretically, one would have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Practically, we don't do it. We don't repeat the prayer. But theoretically, one would have to. The Chavetz Chaim was once asked. Chavetz Chaim, the holy Chavetz Chaim, was the centurion of our century, of our time. The Chavetz Chaim lived from 1838 to 1933. 95 years of life, and he was like the Michael Jordan of modern day Judaism. He was the best of the best. He was the greatest of the greatest. He was not only great from an intellectual perspective, where he knew everything that the Torah had to say in all of our written texts, both in halacha and also in Jewish mysticism, but he was also somebody that was so sterling in their character. He was a leader. Which having a mix between those three things is something that's almost impossible to find. You have an amazing intellectual that also knew how to relate to people, but at the same time was able to be a leader with sensitivity. I mean, it was just, he was the centurion. He was the greatest of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And he was once asked by students of his that I seem to not be having the right intention during the first paragraph of Shmoneh Esrei. Now, remember we just said that if a person doesn't have proper intention during the first part of Shmoneh Esrei, so then they have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei again. They have to repeat the davening again, because it's like they didn't fulfill their obligation. It's like they didn't fulfill their obligation if they didn't have proper intention during the first part of the davening. But practically speaking, we don't do that, because who says a person's going to have proper intention the second time around, and then the third time around, the fourth time around? You probably won't. So, all right, you'll try the next time. The next time you get up to daven, hopefully you have proper intention then, but you're not going to repeat the davening. They asked the Chofetz Chaim, they said that, but what if I'm in the middle of my davening? So I started my Shmoneh Esrei. Halfway through, I realized I'm not having good, I wasn't paying attention. So should I just stop davening at that point? Right? If I know I did not fulfill my mitzvah because I did not have my proper intention during the first part of Shmoneh Esrei, maybe I should just stop davening at that point. I'm halfway through. Like a game I like to play with myself sometimes is I'm in the middle of davening and I'll stop myself in the middle of davening and I'll ask myself, what blessing am I saying right now? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I actually saying right now? If I could answer the question correctly, that means that like I'm doing okay. But sometimes I come up short with an answer because I'm so my head is all over the place. I'm not paying attention and I missed out. So should I just stop davening at that point? Should I just take my 3 steps back and just I'm finished? And so they asked that to the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim answered. He said that let's say somebody is he answered them with a mashal. He said it would be similar to let's say somebody is out in the marketplace and they're selling their apples. They're selling their, that's probably, this example is probably coming to my head because my kids just watched Aladdin. So they're out in the Arab market and somebody is there with their goods and they're selling their apples and comes along a thief and somebody grabs an apple off the cart. So what does the shopkeeper do? What does the owner of the apples do? So he starts running after the guy. He starts running after the guy to go catch him. But what's going to happen when he leaves his storefront? So then all the rest of the thieves are going to come out from the rest of the marketplace and they're going to grab the rest of the apples. Says the Chofetz Chaim, why would you leave your station? Better is the guy runs off and you should stay where you are. So that way, at least the rest of the apples you can keep and they don't get stolen from you. You can make good sales. Says the Chofetz Chaim that, so what? It was stolen from you one bracha, two brachas of Shmoneh Esrei, but you have the rest of the davening ahead of you. You have the rest of it. So at that point, you have to just stop yourself and say, now I'm going to focus for the rest. I'm going to focus. I'm not going to let the just because I lost two apples, I should let all the rest of the apples get stolen from me. I'm going to make sure I refocus myself right now to make sure I catch up for the rest of Shmoneh Esrei. The Kuzari writes, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the great Rishonim, he was a Jewish philosopher that also wrote about the importance of having a love for the land of Israel. A lot of his writings was added into the rhetoric of religious Zionism because the way he wrote about the land of Israel, like he famously wrote, he said, "Libi b'mizrach, my heart is in the east. Avani b'sof ma'ariv, even though myself physically, I'm all the way out in the west. I'm at the end of the west, but nevertheless, my heart is in the east." That's what he wrote. Libi b'mizrach. So the Kuzari, when he speaks about Shmoneh Esrei, and he speaks about the importance of the intention we're supposed to have during our davening, he says that when one is davening during the 3 points in the day, we daven in the morning, we daven in the afternoon, and we daven in the night. He says that really everything that I've done up until the point where I begin my prayer and everything I'm going to do after that prayer is defined by the tefillah I'm doing right now. That when I'm standing up and davening and I really focus myself to have proper intention, so then everything I've done till that point was leading me in my life to this point right now. It's like it all comes down to this point right now in my life when I'm standing up and davening before God and I'm praying before God and I'm having that connection before Hashem. And that everything that's going to happen after my life at that point is going to be framed by the way I was able to have that relationship with Hashem at that point. He writes in such beautiful language. He says, this particular moment in my life, Shibah ha'adam espalo, this time right now that I'm coming and I'm praying, lev zmano upirio, it's my heart, it's my entire life and my purio and the results of my hard work. He says, v'yushar itiosav kidrachim hamagim ala isahi, everything that's going to happen in my life after this point is going to be affected by the way I pray right now. This is just hopefully framing for us the importance of using all of our strength to make sure that we put everything we have into our davening and into the intention we have behind the way that we pray, to the point that when I'm going to have my intention in davening, and even if it wasn't perfect halfway through, doesn't mean that I should just let the thieves come and take the rest of the apples. I have to make sure I focus myself at this point, because at this point right now, in the way I'm going to have my intention in my prayer, could have ripple effects throughout my life, in the way I interact with other people, in the blessings that I have in my life, in my relationship with God, that it has impact on everything. And therefore, I need to make sure I strengthen myself to have as much intention right now in my prayer. There's an amazing Gemara where the Talmud tells us in Masechta Erevin on Samech Hei that if a person is not focused when they're praying and their mind is somewhere else, then that's just not called prayer. Says the Gemara, Kol She'ein Da'atom Yushevas Alav, if a person does not have a clear mind when they're praying, that's just Al Yispal. It's just better to not even pray at that point. A person really needs to try and clear their head before they start davening. Then the Gemara says that, gives stories of different Tanaim and Amoraim, different great Talmudic scholars that... great Torah scholars in practices they would have related to this. For example, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lazar said, Haba min aderech, that if somebody just came from a business trip, al yispalel, better that you don't pray, coming right after a business trip, better to not pray, shalosha yamim, for 3 days. Don't pray for 3 days after a business trip. Now, practically speaking, we don't do this. Says in Shulchan Aruch that we don't practice this way because, again, we said before that most of us don't have the proper intention anyway to the perfect intention. So we're not holding ourselves to that high standard. But why? What's the purpose of that? So says Rashi, why shouldn't a person pray for 3 days after a business trip? Says Rashi, She'ein da'atom yushevas alav mepei torah haderech, because a person is not going to have their perfect intention because their head is still on their business trip, or their head is they're still trying to regain their strength after traveling. So better to not pray for 3 days. Speaks volumes over what tefillah actually is. Tefillah is intentional time with God. That it's really focused time. It's not just reading the words of the Shmona Esrei. It's not just reading the words of a book, but it's having really intense moment with God of trying to clear our head as much as we can to come and pray before Hashem. In fact, there's a Mishnah that tells us where the Mishnah says that the Hasidim Rishonim, the early pious ones, they would come an hour before davening. They would come an hour before davening in order to focus themselves. Maimonides, the Rambam, when he brings down this halacha, when he codifies this this law, the Rambam writes, he said the Rambam was one of the greatest of all Torah scholars to live in the last 1,000 years. He lived from 1135 to 1204. He was an absolute genius in the way that he makes Jewish law and Jewish tradition so accessible. The Rambam, when he brings down this practice, he says that, but one doesn't need to come an hour before. He says, rather, just a few moments before one starts praying, he says, me'at kodem, a little bit before, one should try and clear their heads. Just try and clear your head in order so that one can come and pray properly. Shlomo Volbe passed away in 2005. Was probably one of the most influential Jews to live in our generation. And Rav Volbe said that, when somebody comes to daven, they come to pray, there's a number of reasons why they may be distracted, right? It could be that there's something that of work that's stressing them out. Someone they know is sick that's distracting them, and that's where their head is at. It could be that it's something to do with their family, with their children, with their parents, whatever it may be. There's something going on in their head that is distracting them. Says Rav Volbe, I have a great solution for such a person if you want to be able to focus in prayer and not let something distract you. Says, whatever the thing is that's distracting you, start praying for that thing. You feel your mind going to that place, and so then you're distracted from your davening. So what's the problem? Just start praying for that thing. And now you've turned the distraction into the tefillah, because the whole purpose of prayer is not just reading through the text. The whole purpose of prayer is to utilize the text in order to connect with Hashem as close as we possibly can. With this in mind, now we could start to appreciate why it is that we spend, why it is that we actually use the text. Because with this in mind, maybe one can say, well, I'm just going to pray from the heart and I'm not going to utilize the text. But the thing is, though, is that the text was designed by our rabbis in order to make this connection point as direct as possible. Because if we were just to leave it up to us to be able to have this perfect intention every single time and be able to hit all the marks in perfect prayer every single time, who's to say it would happen? The text of the Shmona Esrei was designed so perfectly in order to give us the ability to connect with Hashem in this perfect way. Like the Guzari wrote that if one does it right and they have if they daven correctly and they pray correctly, so then that could be the changing moment in their life, their entire life. They can be living different lives after that point if they daven correctly. The text was designed by our rabbis for exactly that purpose. It says in the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says that when they were writing the Siddur, when they were writing the text of the Shmona Esrei, of the 18 blessings that we have in that personal prayer with Hashem, says the Gemara, Me'a ve'esrim zekenim, there were 120 of the greatest Torah scholars that were sitting and writing this text, ubehem kama nevi'im, and among them were even prophets that were writing this text. Tiknu Shmona Esrei brachos ala Seder. They wrote 18 blessings in a particular Seder, and using their prophetic knowledge and using their Ruach HaKodesh, using their divine their divine knowledge, they were able to create a text and an order and a structure to prayer that allows a person to be able to connect with God most directly. The way that passed away in 1828, he founded the Volozhin Yeshiva, Yeshivas Eitz Chaim, the greatest yeshiva of the last couple hundred years. He himself was the closest student of the Vilna Gaon. He writes, he says that it's a great gift that we have, the text of the Shmona Esrei, because it gives us the ability to connect with Hashem most directly. He writes, that's why a person needs to take time to analyze the text of the Shmona Esrei, because a person should and needs to come with a clear head into their davening. But then if they do so and they understand the text of the Shmona Esrei, so then they can utilize that text, utilize their intention and apply it to their intention in order to have that direct connection with God. Says Rechaim Volozhiner, he says, Kol ha-mevin yavin, that whoever really understands will understand this. Delo isi anesh el yivashta shiyuchu l'sakin tiku nifla v'nora kazeh. A regular person, us regular individuals, would never be able to come up with such a perfectly designed text like that of the Shmona Esrei that was designed by our great rabbis. Lichlol v'lignos, that contained within it, b'matbeya, in just one single paragraph of prayer, kavua u'sedura b'nusach echad, that being able to capture within the text of the Shmona Esrei something that so perfectly captures everything we need to connect with God in every single thing that we need in life. Hatikunam shakol haolamos. They understood everything that happened in the upper upper spheres, in the mystical spheres of God. Elyonim v'tachtonim, everything that happened above, in the above worlds and the below worlds. V'sidrei pirkei ha-merkava, they understood Hashem in a way that we can't understand, that allowed them to apply it to this text. V'shebechol pam shemispalim, and whenever we pray, yorgim tikunam chadashim, we're able to understand new insights, v'sidr ha'alonos v'akochos, to be able to connect with God in a new way. V'hemshachas mochin chadashim acherim, and have new insights into our relationship with God. Sh'me'esh sh'tiknua ad bias ha'gol b'mher b'yameu, because from the moment that they established the Shmona Esrei until Mashiach comes, lohaya It will never have been, v'lo yihye, and there never will be. There will never be shum tefila bipratos domal chaverta, two tefilos of two individuals that are exactly the same. You'll never have such a thing where two people daven the exact same way, even though they're using the exact same text. Because we're using their vast knowledge and their prophetic understanding, we're able to capture within a set text a way for every single Jew to connect with God in every single Shmona Esrei that is different every single time. An incredible thing that they did. And therefore, it's an incumbent upon us to be able to analyze the words of the Shmona Esrei. So that's why we're going to be moving forward starting next week. We're going to start analyzing word by word the text of the tefillah, the text of the prayer, hopefully so that as we step into each one of those Shmona Esreis, each time, like the Kuzari said, that could be a defining moment for us. We're there and we're ready and we're equipped with the words of our holy rabbis, the words of Chazal, to be able to connect with Hashem most directly. Okay, good. Beautiful. All right, good. All right. We'll stop here for now.
How did they connect with Hashem before the Shmona Esrei,
right? Yeah. So with a lot of these, no, it's a very good question. Is that before they wrote the Shmona Esrei, how'd they do it? So that number one, that could be very well why they wrote it, is because people were this is talking about this is during the Second Temple period. During the Second period, well, we know included in this group of Talmidei Chachamim was Mordechai HaTzadik. Mordechai from the Purim story. So this is like right around the Purim story. Yes, yeah, so this is going back probably the first century.
Oh,
yeah.
So why did they include? Was it added later?
Why did they what?
Oh, so what, which? Yeah, so then they, yeah, that was added after the, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. So this is right at the end of the era of prophecy. Before that point, we're talking about a time where people were probably more directly connected with God. They were able to have a better connection with God. We're talking about during the time of when the temple stood. When the temple stood, when someone would walk into the temple, I mean, they became overwhelmed with a direct connection with Hashem. It was something that was so clear and obvious.
So is there a need for the future generation?
So it was need probably in that generation toward the end of when the temple was still standing. And then for future generations to be able to have something to connect with. It says in the Gemara that the three types of prayer of Shacharit, Mincha, and Maariv, of praying in the morning, afternoon, and evening, was established by Avram and Yaakov. Avram, when he would come to pray, was able to have a direct connection with Hashem. He didn't need the text of the Shmona Esrei. He intuited it. Yitzchak was able to intuit it. Yaakov was able to intuit it. Chana, when she came to daven for a son, for Shmuel, she was able to intuit the way that we pray. Chana is much before. Hannah's the, yeah, for sure. She's during First Temple period. Yeah. First Temple was built. Yeah. I mean, she was, right. She's talking, that's Mishkan Shiloh, which was just before the First Temple was built. They intuited an ability to connect with God, right? Talking about a time during prophecy. But when the Shmona Esrei was developed, that was during a time of what was referred to as Ayelas HaShachar, when the era of prophecy was starting to come to an end. We were being infiltrated by outside influences. We knew that we weren't going to have the temple for so much longer. This is during a time where we needed to codify it, because otherwise we wouldn't even know how to step into having that kind of direct connection with God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why it's like a balance over here. In fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch that one needs to find this balance when one prays. On the one hand, hamischavein tzarech sheyechavein belibo, that on the one hand you need to be able to connect your heart to Hashem, But at the same time, also Perish Hamilo Shemotze Bisfosov. You need to be able to understand the words that we're saying in the Shemona Esrei, because in order for your heart to be able to connect directly to Hashem in the way it's supposed to be able to get the most out of the tefillah, that's what the text of Shemona Esrei is. But if just reading through the text is obviously not going to be good enough either, one needs to utilize the text in order to connect their heart to Hashem as much as possible. You need to have both. Yeah, both. That's why it's important, like to take time to understand the Shemona Esrei. Like Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes in the introduction to his work Sha'arim B'Tefillah, he says that if a person wanted to get the most out of prayer, it wouldn't make sense for them to start working on davening during davening. Wouldn't make any sense, right? And that's the way most of us do. Most of us, it's while we're davening that we're trying to focus ourselves and trying to understand what we're saying. He says it makes a lot more sense that when it's not davening times, like when it's Wednesdays at 1:45 in the afternoon, it would be a good time to stop and analyze what one says during davening. So that way the next time you get up to pray, one knows exactly what they're saying. In fact, the Braisa says in Masechta Shabbos, the Braisa says in Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Chaf Zion that analyzing prayer is one of the mitzvot that one can do that you'll get rewarded for, not only in the next world, but you're guaranteed to also have reward in this world. That when one analyzes the words of the text of the tefillah, because when one analyzes davening, meaning they prepare for davening, so then it makes every single tefillah a different tefillah. Just it changes everything. Changes everything about your davening. That's what Rav Eliashiv, they once asked Rav Eliashiv there's a boy who a boy was having trouble getting up for davening in the morning. So they asked Rav Eliashiv, what should do you have any advice to help the person get up to come daven in the morning? So Rav Eliashiv says he must not understand how important davening is. Meaning if a person really understood why they're davening or why it's so important or what it is that they're saying, so then you'd be jumping out of bed in the morning. But you know, the same way that somebody in their business, they understand why their business is so important. They understand why what they're selling is important. So then they're not lazy about their business. They have alacrity when it comes to their business because they know exactly why it's so important. So when one does this, when we take time to analyze what it is that we're saying, to analyze how to have that proper connection with Hashem, so then it completely changes the davening. It changes it into something that's just reading through a text or just having an emotional connection, to be able to do both, where I'm having that emotional connection with Hashem that's guided by this text that was put together by prophets. It's almost like when one engages in davening, I remember Rav Schechter saying this, like it's like one is engaging in prophecy. We rarely do we have, or I think maybe the only thing that we have, where we are saying to God ourselves prophetic language. We're using prophetic language to talk to God.
Prophecy, prophetic.
Meaning when the rabbis established the text of the Shemona Esrei, they used prophecy. They were having prophetic.
They were able to look into the future, and that.
No, they were meaning they were prophecy. I mean, they understood with a prophetic mind. Meaning, when I say prophecy, I mean that they understood God. It was almost like God was channeling through them. Yeah, they were. They were channeling.
Channeling.
Yeah. Yeah. When exactly
divinely inspired
in the way that they were, which means that when we're using that text, we're using a divine words.
Did they say that they were being divinely inspired when they were writing they actually wrote someplace documented
it was
the process.
Well, it's our right, meaning it's our tradition that we knew that they were
they didn't say yes, this came from Hashem. And
I mean we know from who they were that this was, like, we're talking about like Mordechai Mordechai, we knew, was a prophet and knew that he was using, we knew that he was using Ruach HaKodesh when writing this, using that divine in the divine understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Rabbi?
Yeah.
If they knew what needs to be said, then why do we have an opportunity to insert our own prayers, our own individual? Because so, they covered it all, right?
Right. So they covered it all. Yeah. Flora was asking, so then why is it that we have at the end of our davening, if they covered everything in their text, why is that we have at the end of the davening a place to insert our own tefillah, mm-hmm. our own personal requests? Mm-hmm. So that is because the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos on Dav Vav that it says in the Talmud, Kol ha'osa tefilaso keva, that if a person makes their davening something that is mechanical, meaning it's the same thing every single time, and it's not sincere and personal, so then ain't tefilaso tachnunim, then their tefillah is not real davening. It's not real tefillah. Then their tefillah is not going to be answered. Meaning to say that their text, and this is where Chaim Volozhiner explains, the text that they used was a standard text that they created to be applied to the individual. So the individual still needs to add in something that makes their tefillah something unique and different, because it can't be something that's just mechanical. But at the same time, if we utilize the words of Chazal, of our great sages, so then we'll be able to connect with Hashem at the highest point. By the end of davening, we'll be able to add in our own personal tefillah to make it something that makes our tefillah something that's tachnunim, make it something that is a real personal tefillah with Hashem. So it's stuck in at the end of davening. In fact, the Rugachever writes that one should not put their personal requests earlier than that in davening. If they start putting their own personal language beforehand, so then they're going to break the text. We want to go through the text in a way that will be able to connect us as directly as possible to Hashem, that by the end of it, now I can add in my personal flavor to my tefillah to make it something that's personal from me.
Shema Koleinu, is that the end?
So Shema Koleinu, the Rugachever says, is not the place to insert it. He says it's after, we'll get to it when we go through the text, but he says it's after Sim Shalom, when we say Yularatzon Imrei Fivi, Agon Libi Lefanecha Hashem Tshuva Goali, after that is the place to insert it. That's why, and we'll talk about this, that's why at the end of Shmona Esrei, after Sim Shalom, the language of the text changes from plural, where we're davening not only for ourselves, but also for the rest of the Jewish people, to Elokai Nitzor Lishoni Meira, which it changes to a personal prayer, talking about myself personally. It changes at there. It changes at that point. Yeah.
So you know, you mentioned that Rabbi Wolbe. I think we should mention Rabbi Wolbe said, if you have something on your mind, you utilize.
Yeah.
But you can't really utilize that during your prayer because you have to wait for after.
So I think his point was kind of like, use it as an opportunity to refocus yourself, right? Because we're talking about it at a point where you're not paying attention anyway, mm-hmm. right? So stop and refocus yourself. It doesn't mean to verbalize it, but in your mind. Stop and focus yourself.
To fix the problem.
Right? To fix the problem, right? Is the way to fix it is, well, let me focus on this thing that's bothering me. And let me talk to God about it for a minute. And then that's going to refocus me back into the Shmona Esrei.
So one thing I do, and I don't know if it's right, if I find I cannot focus,
yeah,
I'll switch to English.
No, okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Switch language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about the we have to get to, which we haven't yet. We have to get to some of that, the halacha related to that, which is how does language relate to davening? Because the way that the Chazal, the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, right, using their divine understanding, they wrote it in Hebrew, the Lashon HaKodesh, using God's language. But at the same time, we need to understand what you're saying. Right. So we'll have to get to all that. But the short answer is yes, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. Except for the first paragraph of Shmona Esrei.
Right.
The first paragraph and modim. Modim we'll get to also. Modim, the Mishnah Berurah also says. But yeah, that's the short answer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, very good. All right. We'll stop here for now. Okay. All right. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks, Makoa.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. I'm so glad this started again.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because we're going to start.
Good. Good.
Wonderful.
Have to get that. Nice to meet you. I hope you.